At this time, the children are dismissed to children's church. Today, we get to finish the series on going deeper. The 10th installment of what's been going on in weeks, not only here, but in our small groups as well. And I want us to think about all that that has meant to us and to you individually, to us collectively. In this 10th installment, we're going to be looking at being and becoming an authentic witness. We've looked at the other nine, and just in as a refresher, we've looked at pursuing God's presence, living the surrendered life, being empowered by God's Spirit. Stop believing the lies, receiving and offering forgiveness, healing for the wounded, intentional community, being shaped by God's word, listening prayer, and today being an authentic witness. As I thought about these 10, each of us over the last weeks and months have had one or two of these that have hit each of us particularly hard. You know, there's Sundays where I hear some people agreeing and other people cowering. But as I looked at the 10 of these ways that we can grow deeper, today's is a little different. We look at all these other things, and most of the first nine, we internalize. They draw us closer to our Lord. They begin to draw us closer to a body of believers. This one is different. This one is either one you understand or want to embrace, or this is one that is going to strike fear into your very core. How do we live for Christ in a lost and dying world? How do we be authentic in that? And as I was preparing, I'm not sure if I prepared as someone who embraces this or someone who still on occasion can have fear run into my heart. Sometimes it depends on the moment, I believe. But I want to look at it today a little differently, perhaps. You know, as we look at it today, I want to answer four major questions. Okay, we want to look at the model of going deeper in question form. So as we look at this, and I see the four questions as this, is why should we even be an authentic witness? How do we actually be an authentic witness? Why does it even matter? And lastly, how does it help me to grow deeper? And the more I pondered it, it really every aspect of this kind of fit into one of these four aspects that we're going to look at this morning. And the first question we want to look at is, why should we be an authentic witness? And with this, I want to share two passages of Scripture. The first one is Matthew 28, 16 through 20. It should be familiar. It's the Great Commission. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The second passage of scripture I want to look at with this was one I want you to picture Jesus on the mountain. I want you to think of the multitudes around him in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus goes to teach, multitudes everywhere, and his disciples sit at his feet, and he begins to address them. But he shares these words, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So as we look this morning and try to answer that question, why should we be an authentic witness? These two passages give us two answers to that. The first that we saw in the Sermon on the, in the Great Commission, is that it's a command. As we grow deeper in Christ, it's a command. And it's Christ who empowers us to do that work. And as I look at that passage, Jesus in his command, he emphasizes to go. He emphasizes to make disciples. And he emphasizes our teaching them. It's not a concept. It's a group of actions. We're told to do that. As we grow deeper in our relationship with Christ, this should become important to us. What he commands us to do should resonate in our very hearts. So it's commanded. The passage we looked at from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, we see Jesus comparing us to salt and light. And I picture him and teaching all the people, his disciples at his feet. And it says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He doesn't say, someday if you play your cards right, you're going to be salt. And if you get it even better and finally get your act together, then you'll be light. He doesn't say that. And think about, as he's sharing this, those disciples are just starting to figure things out. Just starting to understand who Jesus is. They don't fully know. They've got a long way to go, and they're hearing this, that they are salt and they are light. I want to tell you, we're under a microscope. We don't like it. Anyone here like being under a microscope? Most of the time, whatever's under the microscope is dead. Okay, but that's not the case this time, right? People are watching. They see how we live. They see what we claim to believe. See how we live what we claim to believe. You see, we should be authentic witnesses because that's who God designed us to be. We are under the microscope on purpose. I'm not sure about you, but when I'm under the microscope, I'm glad that God is the one turning the focus knob so that people can see what they need to see. So one aspect, one question. Why should we be an authentic witness? The next question, I think, is perhaps one of the most difficult for us to get our mind wrapped around. That's, how do we be an authentic witness? And for this, I want to share out of 1 Peter 3, 8 through 17. And it's going to progress over several slides here. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. But who is there to harm you if you're zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you're slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. We look at this passage, and there's a lot in here. This could in itself be a series. But I want us to consider the things that are in here on how we'd be an authentic witness. We look at in verses 8 through 12, there are several things that Peter writes, and I want us to think of the fact that Peter had to learn these. Consider your part in the body of believers as I mention these. Have a unity of mind. Sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind. Don't take revenge. As opposed to that, bless. Keep your tongue from evil. Keep your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. And seek peace. As I read these this week, I found that list pretty convicting. How do we live under that microscope? When people look at us individually or as a church body, do we live in unity? We can pay lip service to that, but what does Facebook say? Do they see us bickering amongst ourselves, or do they see us working it out? Do they see a group of people trying to be perfect, or a group of people trying to be genuine? This has nothing to do with being perfect. You can't do it. I can't do it. Jesus can. Jesus did. When we're empowered by the Spirit of God, we work toward this. And being an authentic witness and going deeper sometimes means we have to say our sorry to other believers, especially to unbelievers. Sometimes I believe some of our most effective witnesses when we're real. And they realize that it's not about being a goody-goody, but being a real person that's forgiven, saved by grace, living in God's love. That's how we live it. That list could be longer. There could be some things on there that hammer you. There's some things on there that hammered me. And that tells us what we need to live. As we looked in that passage, verses 15 through 17, kind of told us how we live it and how we can explain it. And just as a recap, verse 15, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that's in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. You know, this morning in our Sunday school class, someone brought up a really hard question that we need to answer. There are ways to answer that question. There are a lot of ways not to answer the hard questions that come. We're going to be asked questions that we do not have the answers for in a lot of cases. How we do it is with gentleness and respect. Don't fake an answer you don't have. I have done that one. It does not work. Especially when you come off with a lame one. All right? Learn from my mistakes so you don't make them. Be able to speak the truth in love. Or let me turn that around. Speak in love the truth. That's how we be an authentic witness. It's hard. It's going to be hard. But we're commanded to do it. It's the norm. As Jesus said, you're the salt, you're the light. It's the norm of who we are. It's not unattainable. We're all called to do it. And you don't have to be a theologian to do it. If you've known Jesus for 5 minutes, you can tell someone who hasn't known yet what you just found. You can communicate what you know, what you've experienced. But do it in love. Do it in respect. And realize it's going to take time. Sometimes that witness we have isn't 30 seconds. It might be 30 years. Live consistently. Do it over a long period of time. Grow in the Spirit. Grow in the other 9 that we've already talked about in the recent weeks. As we go deeper with God, and He builds us into who He wants us to be, this is going to be a lot easier to do. But you got to want it. So that talks about how we be an authentic witness. The next question is a bit touchy, I'm afraid. Why does it even matter? I'm saved. I got my get out of hell free card. Right? You got one of them? It's in my wallet, baby. It's right back here. Why should I care about anyone else? I'll give you a couple of reasons. First is in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The first part of the answer to why does it even matter is that people matter to God. We are his crowning creation. We are the apple of his eye. If you don't believe that, that takes us back to the week where we talked about don't believe the lies. If we are scared to death about sharing the faith we have, that's another lie. That's the last thing the enemy wants us to do, is share that truth. Because it robs another one from him. I'm all for taking him. Anyone else? That's who we are. We looked at that verse. The heart of God is that no one is lost. The question, why would a loving God send someone to hell? It wasn't made for you. God doesn't want you to go there, neither do I. People matter to God. The second verse, one we all know, we can recite it when we're 6 years old. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Another reason it matters is our salvation and redemption came at a very high price. Bought and paid for by Jesus Christ himself. People matter to God. Because people mattered, Jesus paid it all. That'll preach. Simple to explain. God loves you. If he can love me, he can love you. There, you just shared your faith. Pretty simple, huh? God didn't make it to be hard. What you've experienced, you can share. Why does it matter? People matter to God, and it came at a high price. It cost Jesus everything, because people are of great value to him. But another thought with this, I want you to remember, somebody sometime shared it with you. I'm glad it was shared with me. I can think of the people in my life that shared it. It's a living and a spreading work. The last question we want to look at today is, how does it help me grow deeper? And with this, I want us to think about the scriptures we've already shared. I want us to think about how we live our lives as Christians. And what sharing our faith in an authentic way really means internally for us in our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, when when we live in an authentic way, there are a lot of benefits that we see, experience. And here are several of them. So we feel God's pleasure in our obedience. When we share our faith, even when it's difficult, even if it's not accepted or accepted with hostility, it's authenticated by God. We know it's right. By the way, it's only round one when that happens. Don't give up. And I think about this one. Last night, took the dog out, waiting outside. Waiting for the dog. You ever done that? Waiting for the dog, waiting for the dog. Waiting for the dog. I looked at my neighbor's houses. Ones that I've been sharing with. And I just breathed a simple prayer. Lord, how do we reach this world? I didn't have the answer. But I was immediately authenticated by the Spirit of God. With his arm around my shoulder. Authenticating that was the right question to ask. Even in our futile attempts, God authenticates those. He takes pleasure when we love our neighbor. He takes pleasure when what matters to him matters to us. We don't have to get it perfect. When we live in obedience, we feel his pleasure. When we go deeper in our authentic faith, we experience God. The dangerous prayer that goes with that one is, Jesus, help me love people like you. That's hard. That's like that third song that we sang. We can sing it, or we can internalize it. The next way is we sometimes or often see the fruit of our witness. You know, if we share faith long enough, and some of us are real good first round people. God wired us all differently in our witness. Some are good at loving people, sending them a card or a basket. Which has happened in the past several months to someone in a nursing home. There are several heroes in our midst. I'm not even going to mention their name. They don't need the recognition. They didn't do it for recognition. They did it for love. It was someone in the local nursing home that God put me in the next step with. So you may not be a closer, okay, you know, the one that the Holy Spirit does it. You have saved no one. But sometimes he gives you the privilege of seeing what he does. And he gives you the words to come alongside a person at that time. The Holy Spirit does the drawing. At the same time, he's empowering you to bring the words and living the life you need to live. Those two go together. It's the Holy Spirit that does the whole thing. He's preparing the person. He's preparing the witness. The bottom line is willingness on both parts. person who is a yet-to-be Christian doesn't know that yet. Pray that they will. Share your faith. But sometimes we get to see what God does. The more we share our faith authentically, the more we grow deeper in doing that, the more people we're going to see changed. That's how God shares his pleasure with us as well, that we get to see what he does with the Spirit. And the last one, we grow in confidence. Down the road, I've been a Christian for a long time, but I'm still 15, right, Tony? That's right. I just walk like I'm 70, okay? But as we rely on the Holy Spirit's leading, we grow in his strength. The confidence we can only get through the power of God's Spirit and his leading. So, we look at how it helps us grow deeper. We experience God. Just as the other nine that we've looked at, growing deeper is a choice. It's a desire. We've looked at 10 different elements in the series. But they're all holding hands. As we begin to grow in each and grow deeper in one, we start to grow deeper in others. I want us to realize as we bring this series to a close that growing deeper is what the Spirit of God wants for you. You can choose not to grow deeper, but you'll never see God. If you choose not to grow deeper, you may need to consider whether or not you know him in the first place. I get a picture of this church building. I remember, a lot of us in here remember when this was just a little patch of woods that we killed every Saturday morning for a long time. Okay? And we put up this nice building, these nice walls. But if we sit inside these walls and people don't matter to us, these walls are a prison. Consider that. These walls weren't meant to house a club. These walls were meant to be a place we could come and be empowered to do the work, to grow deeper, to love our neighbor, to spread the word of Christ. That's church. Church isn't in here. Church is out there. It's kind of a 2x4, okay, for some. That's okay. Fire me. Right? Give me a cut and pay. We can laugh. God is good. This is not impossible. You can totally do this. All you have to do is want to. And that brings us to our challenge this week. As we look at our challenge this week, consider this. Ask God to give you opportunities to display his love and bear witness to him. I may modify that one a little bit. The opportunities are there. Ask God to help you recognize the opportunities that are already there. But if we ask him to give you those opportunities, you take ownership of them. Okay? Second one, go. Jesus calls his followers to go and make disciples. the Great Commission that we looked at earlier. Be intentional to spend time with people who are not yet followers of Jesus. Be present in the lives of others. Love your neighbor. Hang out. Help them. They may start to help you. They'll learn the dynamics of what the life you have is all about, and it may start to click. Love your neighbor. Go across the street. You know, we look at go sometimes, it means go to Africa, like Nan and the girls, okay? They're coming back tomorrow. Go is go across the street. It's a lot shorter, it's a lot quicker. Listen. Listen to the needs around you, then respond. Consider how you can serve, encourage, or pray for someone, and be a blessing. And the last one, I think, is really important, is look. Where do you see God already working? The Spirit of God is so far ahead of you, it's crazy. He's already working. If God is leading you to someone, he's already been there. If you hear God saying, hey, talk to this person, they may be belligerent, but they're already on God's list. Look for where he already is. He'll tell you. Ask him. Okay. Where do you see God working? How can you join him? Look and see what he's already doing. Don't do it on your own. All right? Picture this. There's a battle brewing, right? Can you picture that? You just want to grab your sword and go. Ever been there? Okay, maybe your M16, whatever you want to use, all right? 2,000 years ago or today, the battle is engaged. We want to grab and go. Sometimes we forget to listen to the captain. He's calling the shots. Listen for your instructions. They're there. They go with the opportunities. Those two go together. Just a thought in closing. You know, again, remember, these walls weren't made to keep the church in. This is where we come to get charged up for the next round to be in the church. So as we bring this series to a close, we're just beginning to grow deeper. We're not done with this. Embrace the things over the last 10 weeks. Consider what the Spirit of God is telling you today. Amen? Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your Spirit, for your direction, for your leading. Lord, as we consider the items in this challenge, Lord, help us in this. Help us to see where you're already working. And ask you for your Spirit's empowerment and how we can respond best to those around us who do not yet know you. Lord, we do pray the dangerous prayer. Help us to love people, Jesus, just like you. And empower us with your Spirit to actually do it. Forgive us for sometimes living inside these walls as a club. Help us to live outside. Help us to live under the microscope in a way that pleases you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.